Glory be to God. Wow, I want to tell you, the perfect people are here today for this message. God knows what he is doing. Hallelujah. Oh, he's so good to us. All right. If you got your Bibles, you might want to get them out. It's going to be a killer today. Well, no, it's not. It's going to be a lively one today. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and start, Bruce. All right, so I just want to open in prayer and then we'll get started, okay? Father, I just thank you for this opportunity today to share your word, Lord Jesus. I thank you for everyone here today, Father, that can hear my voice or see us, Father, this day. Lord, open the eyes and the ears. Awaken the hearts of every individual here this day, Father. That, Father, that we may be transformed. That we may be completely renovated and renewed on the inside, Lord. As your revelation is revealed to us and exposes the reality and the truth of who you are and what you've accomplished for us and who we are as children of God. Lord, I thank you for the written word. I thank you for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, I'll tell you, this is the third week of healing school that we're here, and we're going to piggyback this week off of what we talked about over the last 2 weeks. So if you've got your Bible, why don't you go ahead and open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And if you'll go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we can share what we've been talking about. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's go to 3. Sorry about that, guys. And we're going to start in verse 4. Are you with me? So we're going to talk about this in verse 4. It says, "And we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant." So our sufficiency comes from God, and he's made us sufficient, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So where does the life come from? Shout it out. The Spirit. Amen. The life comes from the Spirit. And so then we went on into chapter 3, and we talked about the glory of the new covenant. And it talks about the commandments that were written in stone were the commandments of death. But we now have a more excellent glory than the glory that was on Moses, that the glory that we have excels so far beyond, because now we have that glory in us. Right? And so the glory of God by the Spirit of God is in us now. And we, when we turn to the Lord, who is the Spirit, the veil is removed, and then we can see by the Spirit that as he is, so are we. Amen? So then the Bible says, if you look in verse 18, well, let me read 16 and 17 and 18. 16 says, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom." We spoke about this last week. "But we all," that's all of us here today, "with unveiled faces," in other words, with our veil has been removed, not like Moses who had a veil on so they couldn't see the glory. We have the glory and we have the veil removed so we can see the glory. "With unveiled faces, where there's liberty. But we all with unveiled faces, verse 18, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, changed, metamorpho into the same image. Exact same image. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That word by is apo, that means off of. So from God's Spirit who's in us, His glory is revealed to us, which transforms us to make us just like Him, right? We all got that. And so think of it this way. When Moses physically walked into the glory of God on top of the mountain and stayed there for 40 days in the presence of the tangible presence of God in communication with God, being taught and trained by God. That presence of God was so strong and magnificent that it literally soaked into his skin. So topically, the glory of God was all over Moses. And when he came down off the mountain, everybody could see it. And they knew, God's with this guy. And he had to put the veil over because that was starting to dissipate because he wasn't in the presence of God in that full magnitude anymore. But what the Bible says here is that same presence of the Lord himself, he's now put inside of us through the Spirit. And so the same radiant splendor of God is inside of you and me. Holy, holy Jesus. That is really exciting news. But we have to believe the Bible. We can't just read it and go. We have to actually believe that the same glorious God that Moses stood in his presence and manifested God's glory, God now stands inside of us with his presence. And so, as I've been teaching in other classes we have had, just go with me real quick, and we'll just do it together real quick. I'm always going to be me. Why should I be surprised? Okay, go with me from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I've shared this a lot this week. Look at this in chapter 13, verse 5. Okay, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and he talks about all this. Gets to verse chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? So what he's saying here is he's saying, you need to really check it out and find out if you're even in faith at all. You need to test yourself. Do you really realize that Jesus Christ is in you? This is Paul, not me. I'm saying what Paul said. Okay? We need to all find out if we really accept the fact that Almighty, glorious God is inside of us. Because he said he is. He said he is. John says that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And so we can say these words, but we have to really realize the living God is in me. And from his Spirit to my spirit, I'm being transformed and changed into his exact same image. Let's just back up over to 1 John chapter 3. And we'll just look at this real quick. 1 John chapter 3. And this is what it says in 1 John chapter 3. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, right this very second, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. Amen? So let's back up a second. Let's go back up one more chapter to chapter 2 in 1 John. And look at verse 20. We're talking about God in us, the Spirit of God in us, who has anointed us. And it says in verse 20, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One who's in you, and you know all things. That's by the Spirit. Go down to verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Look at this. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Whew, that's a lot. All right, that's a lot, you guys. So let's just think about this now. So here I want to help, because that is a lot to soak in. It's just a ton. But nonetheless, it's absolutely true for every one of us. Absolutely true. But I'm going to really help you here today. So I'm so excited about it. I got goosebumps. I'm just perpetual goosebumps because this is really exciting news. As he is, so am I in this world. 1 John 4:17 says. It's really true. But I have to examine myself to see if I'm in the faith or not. I need to really test myself. Do I really know that Jesus Christ is in me? Do I really know that? So I have to, I know, now listen, people are sure to say, I know that God is with me. I know that God watches over me. But do I really know that God is inside of me, working through me? That's the part we need to lay hold of here. So today, the title of my message today is Don't Think, Know. Don't think, know. So here's the thing. We think out of our soul. We think out of our mind. And we look through these eyeballs into this natural world, and we listen to what men say, and we calculate, and we decide, and we choose according to what we think. That doesn't mean you own it. That absolutely does not mean you own it. You may understand something is true, but that does not mean it's you. It's your revelation of knowing who you are. So we have to know. And here's the thing. Knowing only comes by the Spirit of God. Revelation comes from the Spirit of God to our spirit. And then we can know because we heard God say it to us. And so out of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we hear in our spirit. Okay, certain verses are probably popping through in your mind. Let's look for a second. Okay, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You guys are beating me there. There we go. All right, so let me explain something to you before I start here. We all have heard that the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, right? And we all have a mind, we all have a will, and we all have emotions. We have feelings, okay? That's our soul. God does not talk to our soul. God does not talk to our flesh. But the devil does. The devil attacks us from the outside to reach the inside. Okay? The Holy Spirit speaks from the inside to manifest on the outside. Okay? The devil tempts us in our physical body and in our mind and emotions. He's from the outside in. The spirit of this world attacks us from the outside in. It wants us to relate to ourselves according to the outer man. And that's who he attacks. That's who they criticize. That's who they judge, is the outer man. The inner man is where the Lord ministers from, the real you. It's like this movie, Matrix. Remember that movie? Is that his name? Neo? What's the other guy, the lead character? I'm terrible at this stuff. Anyway, the one character, Neo, who's the main character, has Morpheus. Morpheus. Okay? And this guy, Morpheus, says to Neo in one scene where they're fighting, okay, these guys are physically in these chairs, but they're connected to these machines that let their thoughts be their real world, almost like in a dream, you know, in your dream you think you're you. And so in his dream, we'll say, inside this manufactured world, he's fighting and he can't hardly breathe. And Morpheus looks at him and says, do you think that's air that you're breathing right now? And all of a sudden, the guy just kind of, the light went on. It's not air. This is not real. This is not the true. I'm experiencing it with all of my senses, but it's not the true. And when that happened, all of a sudden, it clicked over and he can operate differently in that realm. Okay? And Morpheus said something to him, which is my title. Don't think. No, you are, is what he said to him. Because he was talking about how fast he could fight. Don't think you're fast. No, you are. Okay? Great title, great caption in the movie. But here's the thing. You are not, the real you is not your physical flesh and blood body. It's not the real you. It's not the number one you. The number one you is the you in the spirit who has everlasting life. Your physical body will be changed and transformed to house you into eternity. But you are the spirit in you. That's the real you. And the real you is your spirit. Your inner man is where your spirit and your soul both reside. Okay? So the part of the inner man, the heart of a man, is your mind, your will, and your emotions, because that comes from your soul, right? That's your personality. But the spirit man has consciousness also. And the spirit man is your intuition, communion with God, and your conscience. That's the spirit side of you. So what you need to understand is when the Lord is speaking to us from the inside out, from this glory to glory, from the Spirit of the Lord to you, to be led by the Lord, to be led by the Spirit, we are not talking about your mind, your will, your emotions at all. I know this is hard. Here's Paul talking in verse 2 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 4. Ready? And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what Paul said. It's not in anything that I can say. He said in another place, I did not come in eloquent of speech, but in the demonstration of the Spirit. So what he's talking about here is that it comes from our spirit. We have Jesus Christ in us. The power comes by the Spirit of God in us and out of it. And that comes by revelation from God. You have to know. Your knowing comes from the Spirit, not from just reading pages. The letter kills, but it's the Spirit that gives life. We read the Bible to get the revelation from those pages that the Spirit can speak to us through the revelations. But the black and white words only by themselves, because we understand what the words say, does not give us life. Life comes from the revelation of God that you read in these pages, you glean from these pages, is what puts the life of God in you. That's through the fellowship of the Spirit. Here we go. Let's look a little further in this. How exciting. I'm glad you guys come to this stuff. Whew. This is good stuff. Ready? So, if I go on to verse 6, it says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. That's like the president and secretary of state and governors and mayors and all of those people. Okay? The rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages, what? For our glory. From glory to glory. It's a mystery that is spoken for us, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, whose glory you are. That's me saying it. But as it is written, verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor is entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So from your physical eyes and your physical ears, there's no way that you can know these things. You can't. It's impossible. You can't know God through your physical eyes and your physical ears. There's another component in you called your spirit. Your spirit has to bear witness of the truth. It has to tell you in your spirit. So let's go on. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us. This is pretty exciting, you guys. Listen, the outer world, you can't please God by working in the outer world first. Coming from it, trying to solve it in this outer world. It's from the inner world. We're going to get there. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Back up. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, through your eyes and your ears, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Oh, that is so good. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Remember we read earlier in 2 Corinthians that in the Spirit is where freedom is, liberty is, and these things were freely given to us. Verse 13, these things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'm going to explain this. But the natural man, that's your physical flesh and blood, normal human being that walks around on the earth, whose eyes and ears can't perceive the things of God, nor has it even entered into their hearts, that regular outside person, the natural man, does not receive the things of the Spirit. The reason a natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit is they don't know how to even search out the things of the Spirit, let alone be led by the Spirit. Okay, this is going to get really pointed here in a second here. Pop some bubbles, stab some idols. We're going to get some stuff done here. From glory to glory, I'm telling you how we can really be transformed into God's image. It comes from spirit to spirit. It comes from His Spirit into your spirit. You can't think it's true. You have to know it's true. Knowing only comes by the Spirit of God. That's all. Who's in you. That your spirit gets it from God's Spirit. So you learn the things of God. His Spirit teaches your spirit. And that bubbles up inside of you through the aspects of your spirit, which is through your conscience. Your conscience being purified by the Holy Spirit. Remember in the Bible where it says that a person who eats only vegetables has weak faith, but people who have strong faith can eat meat sacrificed to idols because they know that it's really nothing actually. But a person with a weak conscience who's been trained by the rules of the world says, I can't do that because it's just in their understanding. They don't really know the things of God yet. But when you know the things of God, your conscience is now increased that you're operating now by the rules of God and by the Spirit and not by the rules of the natural world. Your conscience has to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Because your conscience will condemn you because it's been trained by the outward. And it has to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. It's an aspect of your spirit. It's been re-energized by God. You also have communion. Fellowship with God comes by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Remember what Jesus taught? He said, flesh and blood is not how the kingdom comes. Food and drink is not how the kingdom comes. It says the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. They come out of the Holy Spirit into Jesus' Spirit and He shares those words to us. Because life comes from the Spirit. Okay? And we are sons and daughters, Romans 8, we're led by the Spirit, right? Okay, I know right now everything I'm saying is still stuck in your soul. It's still stuck in your mind right now. I know that. But until we know how to get it out of the spirit into the soul so it can manifest in our flesh, it's like as if it's a Ziploc bag and it's all ziplocked up. And I can say all day long that Jesus Christ is in you, the hope of glory, that Christ in you is going to raise you from the dead and you can actually live a life and never experience the life of God because you don't know how to access it from the Spirit. We have to do that. That's the only way is to be led by the Spirit of God, right? Am I the only one that this is really excited? I am really excited. I know this is hard. All you guys out there that are watching by video, start jumping up and down. This is great. Amen. Let me go on. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. I'm in verse 14. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. He can't know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. They are non-carnal. They're non-physical. There, that word spiritually right there is pneumatikos, non-carnal, spirit. So they are discerned in the spirit. So we, as sons and daughters of God, learn how to discern according to our spirits now. Now we're learning how to let not our mind, not our will, and not our emotions lead, but they take second position. They're very important, just like your physical body is very important. Without these blood, bones, and water, you can't do anything in this earth. You need the blood, bones, and water. You need it. But you also need your mind, your will, and your emotions, because that gives you your individual identity. But you need to be led by your spirit, the communion you have with God, spirit to spirit, the intuition, that is the revealing, the revelation of the things that are a mystery or that are hid in the spirit, into my spirit, through my intuition, intuitively knowing things. You know, you're inward knower. You all have done things where you know things. You walk out into a room and you go, something's just not right here. I can't quite tell you what it is, but something isn't right. That's coming from your spirit. That's your inward person talking to you. And so each one of us has to come to that place that we're being led by that inward, the inward. So the three aspects of the spirit are your intuition, communion with God, and your conscience. Those are the spiritual man. God will talk to you through that way. Okay? So, look at this. Let me just do the next verse. Lord, you're just awesome. Look at this next verse. But he who is spiritual, he who walks according to his spirit, he who is led intuitively by God with a clear conscience, but he who is spiritual judges all things. In other words, he can decide what's true and what's not true, what's God and what's not God. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one, because the world cannot perceive the things of the Spirit. So they can't even know they're being led demonically to do bad things. They don't even know. They just think that's what they feel like doing, so they do it. They don't think past that at all, that they're being inspired by the spirit of this world. But we know they're being inspired by the spirit of this world because we can spiritually discern these things. We have a discerner that can tell us these things of God, right? Right. They're spiritually discerned. So let's just talk for a second. All right? So, when the blinders come off of us and we can see by the Spirit now that we are just like Jesus who is in the Spirit. God is Spirit. And those that worship God must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Right? So in your spirit. So truly worship God in your spirit. That means not in your mind, not in your fear and exasperation, not in your need, but you just genuinely worship God in your spirit. Okay? Some of us have to settle ourselves down and learn how to practice that. Some of us don't know how to do that yet. And I'm not just talking to all of you in the room. There's people watching us right now. You, guys that are watching us right now. Some of you do not know how to do this. You don't know how to settle yourself down and intuitively fellowship with God that the Holy Spirit can bubble up into you the truth of God so that you can be transformed into the same image from God, from glory to glory, by the Spirit of God that you're fellowshipping with in you. He's changing you to be just like him from the inside out. You have to learn how to do that. You have to examine yourself to see if you're really in faith, in the faith. And you need to test yourselves. Am I really able to commune with God? Am I really able to be led by my spirit man, intuitively inspired as to how I'm going to do, by my knower, that I just know. I'm being led by the fact that I just know what God wants me to do. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3? He said, those who are spiritual, who are awake in the spirit, because if you're born again, your eyes are open so that you can see into the spirit, right? And he says that when you're born of the spirit, that which is spirit, and that which is flesh is flesh. He divided the two out. And he says, when you're born of the spirit and of water, then you can actually enter into the kingdom of God. You can enter into the spiritual dimension, which sounds all woo-woo weird, but it's merely just your inward knowing. Your inward knower of the things of God. Not through your natural eyes, not through your natural ears, not through your natural heart. They can't know God. But through your spirit, you can. And so it says that those who are born of the spirit are like the wind. You don't know where they come from or where it goes. Right? They just... So it is by the Spirit. When you and I are being led by the Spirit, it's not because we calculated with our mind what we're supposed to do. It's because it bubbles up inside of us through fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You just know. I'm supposed to go pray for so-and-so. I'm supposed to give money here. I'm supposed to go do this thing or that thing. I'm supposed to go pray in the Holy Spirit right now. I'm supposed to pray in the natural for this and this and this. You know, I don't know what it is, but I think I'm supposed to send some money to somebody. I can't tell you why, but I feel like I need to make a call and I need to call somebody. They're on my heart over and over and over again. I think I need to go do that. That's being led by the Spirit. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know what fruit's going to come out of it, but it's just being led by the Spirit. After you do it, then your knower, your brain that understands, go, oh, that's why the Holy Spirit had me do that for you. Oh, that's why I was supposed to call, because you're going through this problem or that problem. Oh, that's why I was supposed to send you some money. You had a problem and you couldn't make your food bill this month. Oh, now I understand what I divinely knew to go do. Is that right? So our spirit leads us, and then our mind, our will, and our emotions can confirm and decipher why the Spirit was leading us. All right? So our mind, our will, and our emotions is very important, but it's second. It's not the first. You can't use your mind to figure out the things of God. It's impossible. You have to come from a fellowshipping in the Spirit. The glory to glory comes off of the Spirit of the Lord, right? That's how it happens. The revelation comes off of the Spirit of God, from His Spirit to your spirit. No one can know the things of God but the Spirit of God. No one can know the things of a man except the Spirit of the man. So these things are spiritually discerned. It's craziness to anybody outside of the natural, outside of the church in the natural. Okay? These things are spiritually discerned. And as we really hone into being led by the Spirit, go with me to Romans chapter 8 real quick. I mean, it doesn't have to be real quick. Wow, yes, it does. This time flies. Okay, so go to Romans chapter 8. That's back here. Right? Paul's saying that, you know, with the mind he serves the law of God, with his flesh the law of sin. Who's going to deliver him from this? And it says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation, of verse chapter 8, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to their natural physical body, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, because life comes from the Spirit, in Christ Jesus, has made me free. We read that freedom comes by the Spirit, that He has freely given us these things, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or flesh-minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That means to be able to have eternal life and to be one with God. 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity, it's at war against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. We can't figure out what God is doing through our intellectual mind. It is impossible. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, which we have all examined ourselves to see and tested ourselves to know that Jesus Christ is actually in me. And so since he is actually in us, and we've tested ourselves to prove that to ourselves, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And it goes on to say that those who are led by the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. Right? Because God is a Spirit. Hallelujah, Robert. This is really exciting. Yeah, I thought it would be. Listen, we need to really get this down in our soul. We are Spirit. We really are Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us Spirit to Spirit. And as we believe the Holy Spirit through knowing, through the revelation that he reveals to us the things of God. And as the Holy Spirit reveals the things of God to us, we are changed into the very thing he reveals to us. It becomes who we are from the inside out. Because as I read to you, as we see him, we become like him. Right? Because we see him as he is. We don't know the fullness of it yet. It's from glory to glory. But the more we can see him, the more that's revealed of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more of the revelation of Jesus Christ that we have, that revelation transforms us. And as we get that revelation, we know. We don't think anymore. We know. It's a positive confirmation that nobody can take away from us because we got it by the Spirit, not by anybody else. Not being taught it, by knowing by the Spirit of God. It's the anointing or the Spirit of God in us that teaches us the things of God, that we would know him by the Spirit. And that very Spirit that we walk according to is what transforms us. Our reality is by the Spirit and not by the natural senses of this world. That means for the average person, 97% of their attention is in the natural world. 3% at best is focused on the kingdom, is focused on their spirit inside of them. That letting their intuition, their knower, that knowing because you know, you can't prove it, you just know it, is leading them. This is the mark of a true Christian. This is a mark of a person who is a God's son or daughter, is that they walk by their knower. Jesus didn't do anything that he didn't know first. He either saw it or heard it by the Spirit. And that's how he was led. And he spoke from the Spirit. That's why so many people couldn't figure out what he was even talking about. Because it says, this he spake by the Spirit, is what it says in the Bible. And so a natural person, if you're speaking by the Spirit, you know what? They're going, what the heck are you talking about? They're talking to Jesus, and he says, why do you want to kill me? And they go, what? That's not even the conversation we're having right now. But he spoke by the Spirit. That's exactly what their motive was. I can't even tell you how many people I've walked up to and their mouth is flipping, telling me all the stuff that's going on. I need prayer for this. 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 And I ask them, okay, I'll pray for those things. But can I pray first what God's telling me about you? Because your mouth is moving, but that's not what the Spirit is saying is the issue right now. And I've offended a couple of people, not hurt their feelings, but just kind of shocked them a little bit, going, what? Yeah, the Lord's telling me, actually, you've got some forgiveness. You've got some wounds in your heart, and you need to forgive some things. And these are just an outcropping of the fact that the life of God can't flow through you in this area right now. So can you trust that the Holy Spirit is showing me this, and let's pray about this thing here? It might seem like it's embarrassing to deal with this issue, but it's what will solve all these other problems by the Spirit. And you and I, by the Spirit of God, by our knower, that we know because we know because we know because it's been revealed by the Spirit of God. There's no hoping and a wishing. Don't think, know. So when the Bible says, by his stripes, you were healed, you can't just take your mind and think, well, the Bible says by his stripes I was healed, and through your intellect receive your healing. You have to have the life of God come off of those verses that by his stripes you were healed. And when the light comes off of those verses, that light is called revelation. It reveals to you the real truth that you can know that by his stripes, I actually was healed by what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That actually healed my physical body. And now from the life of the Spirit, from the inside, from spirit to spirit, it reaches your mind that just got light by the revelation that let it flow into your body. And your body got it because it came by the Spirit. Each one of us have to become masters at that. We're students right now. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to learn by the Spirit of God how to move and breathe and have our being according to God. And that comes by fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Too many times I'm with people who pray in tongues on the surface. And I don't mean to insult anybody. Praying by the Spirit, as Bruce has been teaching in this class that we have been on Wednesday evenings, I encourage you, please pay attention to it and come if you can. If you can't come because you're not here and you're watching us on the internet, it's a walk of the Spirit, walk of power. And it's a Jim Richards book. And no, who is it? Dave Roberson, thank you. Dave Roberson's book, and it's really powerful. So, in the Spirit, if we pray in tongues, we're building on the inside of us an edifice, the building of God, a living stone that God is building in us. So as we pray in the Holy Spirit, we get bigger on the inside for Christ to be formed in us. That eternity and everlasting life starts being cultivated on the inside of us from Spirit to Spirit, because the Spirit tells us what to pray, because it's coming out of our spirit, bypassing our intellectual mind, because our understanding here cannot tell us the things of God. It has to come by the Spirit. So when we pray in the Spirit, it edifies us on the inside to become stronger and stronger spiritually, that then it can be revealed to our understanding. So what happens is, as sons and daughters of God, as we are building ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, as we're speaking edifications and thanksgiving by the Spirit, it's inside making us bigger and stronger. so that the voice of intuition, the voice of inner knowing can be stronger, brighter, clearer, so that our conscience can be awake and alive to the movements of God. So that our communion, our fellowship with God becomes greatly enhanced in knowing that we actually are one with God. That way, we've tested and we've proven to ourselves that God is not only with me, He is absolutely in me. And as He's getting greater in me, the revelation is increasing that now, brighter and brighter that I'm coming, even to the point that Peter says that the morning star rises and the day star shines out of our hearts. That comes by the Spirit of God. And we're all going to be transformed at that moment into a new kind of person from glory to glory. Instantly, at the twinkling of an eye, your spirit is going to go bright as Jesus is. And then you'll know, because we'll see Him just the way He is. And then those mortality will be swallowed up by life. But we can do that now by the deposit, the earnest of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. And as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, as we be led by the Spirit, okay, Holy Spirit, I will. He's saying about following His voice. Romans chapter 10, everybody. Just turn the page. We were just in 8. He's telling me about His following His voice. So, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you. This is the word of God. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe or know in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Look at this in verse 10. For with the heart one believes or knows unto righteousness. With your heart, by your spirit, you know you're righteous. Your mind may not tell you're righteous, because your mind looks at all the things your flesh has done. Your mind may judge according to the flesh, but by the Spirit in your heart, you know you've been made righteous. Then, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Go to verse 17. So then faith, because we're going to speak this to other people, comes by hearing, and hearing by God speaking to you, by the word of God, the rhema of God. Rhema is when you're actually hearing the Spirit talk to your spirit into your knower. When you hear the Spirit speak into your spirit and then you know, that's where faith comes from. Real faith. Because God just spoke it into you. Because you know it's true now. Because God just spoke it into you. So it's been revealed as truth to you. So that's why it says in Hebrews, if you hear His voice, obey it. Today, if you hear the Spirit of God speak into your spirit, do what He says. Let intuition lead you. Let your matter-of-fact knowing what God is saying and doing leading you. That means we have to spend time with Him in prayer, sometimes in fasting, in quietness, so that we can actually hear Him leading us. Are you with me? Because the Bible says in Romans, Hebrews chapter 12, that anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Because anything that is not from the Spirit, you don't want. Because there's no place for it in heaven. So you may as well turn it loose now. God is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In him, there's no shadow of turning. You and I are his sons and daughters. He's correcting us for holiness. He's shaking us to let go of the things that are not just identical to him. Right? From glory to glory in the exact same image. So God is doing that inside of you and inside of me by the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God is in us, and I believe he is in all of you. He's in me, and I believe he's probably in all of you that are watching if you've confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and that you know for a fact that you are righteous and now that you can confess that you are righteous by the Spirit of God. Because Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:21, doesn't it say that he became sin who knew no sin, that we can become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, this is exciting stuff. Can I have another hour, please? Can I have one more hour? But I don't get another hour, and I know it. You guys, this is really exciting stuff. Don't think you're healed. Know you're healed. Don't try to stir up your own mind. Go with me. Let's go to one last verse. I hope it's one last verse. Go with me over to Romans chapter 12. Just turn the page one more page over. I'm going to just start in verse 34 of Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 34, I'm going to start in. Okay? I'm going to read down through verse 2 of chapter 12. So look what it says here. It says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him?" In other words, he's saying, which one of you guys know more than God? Which one of you guys knew something before God knew it? Which one of you guys is able to counsel God and tell him the way he's supposed to do it because you know better than him? Absolutely none of us. None of us. Everything is revealed to us by the Spirit of God, to our spirits. I beseech you, or so verse 36 says, "And of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." This is the least you can do, is to at least submit your physical body to God. That's the least you can do. Verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That comes by the Spirit of God. So that is the Holy Spirit is communicating the things of God to your spirit and to my spirit, and they're bubbling up inside of us in knowing we know, we let that now change our identity to who we are. We let that knowing tell us who we actually are. And so now we renew our mind, who is polluted by the world, and tell us what carnal human beings are like. And now we let the Spirit of God start teaching us all things concerning the things of the Spirit. And we let him start showing us the real truth in the Spirit. And now our minds are being transformed into what the Holy Spirit is showing us as reality and truth. And now we're not being conformed and fit into the mold like everybody else. But now we can actually prove what is good, what is acceptable, and what the perfect will of God is, because we're being trained by the Holy Spirit and we're being transformed into a different identity through our minds being trained by the Spirit of God. And we lay down our lives, we lay down our wills, we lay down our human point of view, and we pick up the Holy Spirit's point of view. Isn't this exciting stuff, you guys? It's nothing you can work up and get all lathered up for. It has to come by the Spirit. It really has to come by the Spirit. So if you're facing something that you haven't gotten the results you want, you need to get quiet with your spirit and get with the Holy Spirit that He can show you the things that you did not know. That He can bring to light the hidden things. So the mysteries of why this isn't happening in your life yet can be revealed to you. So that you can know how to move forward and how to walk in the victory. Right? Because the one that is in you is actually and truly, truly greater than the one that is in the outer. He really is. And this He spoke by the Spirit. I love you guys.